thank you very much. The pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim commands of us all v'hochiach tochiach es amisecha. We're supposed to give tochacha and musar if we see someone doing something wrong, whether he's doing something wrong bein adam lachavera, doing something wrong bein adam lamakam, or he's doing something wrong bein adam liyatzmo. If his midas are a little off, we have to give tochacha. And the pasuk uses the word amisecha. Amisecha means your buddy, your best friend. Not all of the people, you only have to give musa to your best friend. What if he's not amisecha? So there's an interesting comment that Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky has in his commentary on Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu runs away from his brother Esav and he comes to the other area, the other country, and he sees the shepherds near the well in the middle of the day, and he wants to give them musa. What are they doing? They're laborers, they're salaried by their bosses, and they're not putting a full day's, they're not putting in a full day's work. They're only working a half a day. They're already giving the animals to drink, and they're calling it quits in the middle of the day. They're supposed to wait till the end of the day, again, then give the sheep to drink, and then bring them back home. So he doesn't bop them over the head. First thing he says, Achai, brothers. What do you mean, brothers? He doesn't know who in the world they are. I remember once I was on the airplane coming back from Israel, so Shlomo Kalbach walked into the plane and said, Shalom Aleichem, brother, he says to me. He didn't know me from the whole world. Brother. So what is Yankov Avinu? He's Shlomo Kalbach. So, Achai, Meyayin Atem. He says, Hayidatimus, Lovan Benocha, do you know Lovan, my uncle? Yeah, Yadanu. Oh, it starts, tracks up a whole conversation. And then he gives him the Musa. So Yankov Kamenetsky says, in order to give Musa, in order that it should be received, in order that it should be accepted, you can't look down upon the people and talk down to them. You shake it, and you throw stones on them, Chalei Shabbos, because they're driving the car. Going to throw stones, they're not going to listen. That's confrontation. You have to first befriend the person. You have to say, Achai, Meyayin Bosen, Hayidatim Eslovan, my uncle lives there. Once you strike up the conversation, and you're friendly, once it's a level of Amisecha, we're equal, we're friendly, then it's shaykh to begin to be successful in giving tochacha in whatever area the tochacha is going to be. Ben Adam Lamokam, Ben Adam Chaver, or Midas, Ben Adam Liasmo, whatever it happens to be. But first you have to strike up friendship, and that it should be a level of Amisecha. The commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvos all point out that there's a problem over here. Why does the Torah have to record this mitzvah as an independent mitzvah? We have 613 mitzvahs in the Chumash. Why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give this separate mitzvah of Hochiach Tochiach Es Amisecha? After all, we have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. If a person loses a nickel, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to give it back. And the Talmud points out, b'hashivoso lo, that if the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, even if it applies, if it's Hashavas Gufo, if someone is lost, someone's driving the car and he's lost, or someone is walking on the street and is obviously lost, they can't figure out where he wants to go, so he's supposed to help him out. And the Gemara says, if on Hashavas, if he lost a nickel, you have to give it back to him, so you certainly have to go out of your way to save Hashavas Gufo. There's a story about a Chassidus Sherebbe was once walking down the block, and he heard someone was singing a niggun in the house, and he was off key. So he knocked on his door and went in, and that's Hashavas Gufo. The niggun was off key, so he had to straighten him out. So there's a din of Hashavas Aveda, Hashavas Gufo. So if a person is sinning, isn't there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Wouldn't we know that there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda without the Torah writing a separate mitzvah of Hochech Tochech Es Amisecha? So we should have not really needed this pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. It should be included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So they commented, Minchas Chinuch talks about this, Shlomo Eger, other Achranim talk about this, why was there a need for the separate mitzvah? So they point out that in Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara says in Eilam Metzias that if it's Aveda Midas, the din about Hashavas Aveda only applies if a person lost something and he's not aware of it, and you're afraid that maybe he really needs it. What if I threw out my garbage, and in my garbage, I know I'm throwing, I have old junk in the house, I have old books and old furniture that I don't use, and I throw it all out in the basement. So there's a mitzvah on Shabbos Aveda, they should bring it back upstairs. No, that's an Aveda Midas. I threw it out and I don't want it. Who call HaKadim Zachar? Whoever wants can have it. So here, you can't really consider this HaShabbos Gufo. You can't really consider it an Aveda. This is really an Aveda Midas. The person is not religious. Let's say he knows what the Torah requires of us, and he doesn't care. So in a certain sense, this is really an Aveda Midas. He's not interested. If the person doesn't know that he's doing something wrong, he's not aware of the mitzvah HaTorah, and then you bring it to his attention, then it's taka mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda. Taka don't need the pasuk, Chayach Dachayach Es Amisecha. What if the person is violating an Aver B'mezid? He knows that it's against the Jewish religion and he doesn't care. So then, mitam, based on the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda, one could have argued the point and said that that's really an Aveda Midas. How can you call it an Aveda if he doesn't care? He wants to throw this out. He's interested in throwing out this mitzvah. But that's why you need this pasuk, Kachech, Tachech, and Sam Yisrecha, that even in such a case, you have the mitzvah of Tachacha, and what does the pasuk teach you? That it is Hashavas Aveda, that it is still Hashavas Aveda. It's not considered an Aveda Midas. It's considered Butler Daite Tzodas Kol Bnei Adam. When the person made up his mind that he doesn't want, let's say, a person becomes half Sinaf, and he has expensive furniture and very valuable silver and jewelry and all kinds of stuff, and he throws it all out in the garbage without realizing what he's doing. He's throwing out extremely valuable stuff, not that he has his old furniture and the old books that he doesn't care for, and it doesn't pay for him, it's cluttering up the house. No, it's extremely valuable stuff, and he throws it out, so you can't consider that an Aveda Midas, and there's no mitzvah, and he threw it out, so there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. No, that's an Aveda Shalom Midas. The person is a Labar Das, he's a Shtikl Sinai, he doesn't know what he's doing. So that's what the Pasuk tells us over here. We have a mitzvah, Hachech, Hachech, Hasami Secha, that this is considered an Aveda Shalom Midas. We assume the person doesn't really understand the value of the Torah. The Rambam has the famous comment, which is not really the Rambam's original statement. The Rambam quotes the statement from the Talmud, that in the end of the second parak in Hilchas Gerushin, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah and Erechin that if a person, if the din requires that a husband should give a get to his wife and the husband is not interested in giving it, so the bezin has to pressure him to give. And what happens if with the pressure he's still not interested in giving the divorce to his wife, so the bezin beats him up a little bit, and if that doesn't help, so they beat him up some more. And the Mishnah says, Makin also, they beat him up, Hachiyoma Rosani. The get has to be given, the dite has to be given out of his own wishes. So what good is it if you beat him up till he finally says, okay, I want to give the get? He's only saying that in order that they shouldn't beat him up. So the Rambam quotes the explanation given by the Gemara that it's not true. Truth of the matter is that every Jew really wants to keep all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But his Yetzer Hara gives him a hard time. His Yetzer Hara convinces him that he shouldn't. So when they beat him up and he says, Roitzani, I really want to keep the mitzvahs, that's the true Ani. His true self is really speaking. All the time that he says he doesn't want to do the mitzvahs, that's really his pseudo-personality. That's a false self. That's not his true self. His true self, that's what we believe, his true self really wants to keep all of the mitzvahs. Why is it that this is the case? We believe, the pasuk tells us that the Bnei Yisrael Abanim Lamakom, and the children carry on the genes, carry over the genes of their parents. Not shaykh. There's no other way. The genes of the children, you can tell by the DNA whether you can identify dead bodies by the DNA. Even if you don't have any DNA from the person himself, if you have from the mother and the father, from the father, you can identify, it's only one chance of 5 billion, trillion, zillion that it's going to be somebody else. You can identify who the person is based on the gene. So the pasuk tells us in the Chumash that we have the DNA, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Banam Lamakam, not only the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all human beings, B'Tzelem Elokim. What it means is that he implanted within all human beings Midas of Elokus, and he commanded the Jewish people the Halachta B'Drachav. It doesn't mean we should imitate the ways of God. What it means is that we should preserve the B'Tzelem Elokim that he created in us, that he implanted within us. And then the pasuk in Parshas Kisava continues to say, right after Halachta B'Drachav, we should preserve the midas of Elokus that we were implanted within us. So the pasuk continues to say, Baro kol ami haaretz, when all the nations of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikra olecha, that we have succeeded in preserving this Tzelem Elokim, the shem Hashem, we have this Tzelem Elokim, v'yaru mimeko, they will learn from us how to be Yirei Shamayim. The Torah tells us, the Novi Yeshaya tells the Jewish people that we should serve as an Or LaGoyim, as a light unto the nation. But it's not only the prophet Yeshaya who tells us this. That's what it says in the Chumash. We're all Kalam Harat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish people to serve as a dugma, as a mashal to all the nations of the world. They should see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, that we have succeeded in preserving the Tzelem Elokim that was implanted within us. And they could do the same thing. They were all created by Tzelem Elokim. So the Yorim Imeko, they can learn Yirah Shamayim from us, and they can also act in the same way, in a proper way, and to maintain their Yirah Shamayim, to maintain their Tzelem Elokim, to preserve their Tzelem Elokim. So when you tell a Jew, when a Jew is sinning, or basically when any human being is sinning, in violation of the mitzvahs that he's given, the Sheva mitzvahs, so when a Jew is sinning in violation of any of the mitzvahs that he was given, this is really an abnormal thing. This is against his very nature, because implanted within a person are the genes of Elokus. Thank you very much. Implanted within every human being is a Tzelem Elokim, divine midot. And implanted within every Jewish person is Banam Lamakam, so to speak, these spiritual genes. And when a person is acting in violation of the mitzvahs that he was given as a human being or as a Ben Yisraeli, the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, the seven basic mitzvahs that all human beings were commanded to observe, or the additional mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded to observe, this is really, if a person sins, this is against his nature. The normal thing is that a person should keep mitzvahs. And when you encourage a person in a proper fashion to keep the mitzvahs, you're just encouraging him to act normally. You're asking him to act normal, to act according to himself. So this is the obligation that the Torah tells us. It's not shy to say that this is an aveda midah, that the person is sinning and he knows that these are averas and he doesn't care. So you say, well, it's an aveda midah and it's not required because of the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. No, that's what the pasuk ocheach tachiach, the Sami Secha, tells us, that it cannot be an aveda midah. It's called an aveda shalom midah. The person who does want to keep mitzvahs is acting against his own nature. It doesn't make any sense. We would declare that it's batla daite etzal das kol b'nei adam. And it doesn't make any sense. So that's why the Torah commands of all of us, we have to go out of our way to get all of mankind and all of the Jewish people to realize that they have to act in a normal fashion and to act themselves, to be themselves. We have another mitzvah in the Chumash. We have to ask Hashem Elokech when we recite Kriyashma every day. We speak about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. So we usually think of this mitzvah to develop a love for God is one of the chayvus halvavos, one of the obligations that one fulfills in his heart. One develops a love for God in his heart. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos quotes from the Talmud that the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is not only a chayvus halvavos, it's a chayvus ha'ivarim as well. There's something that you're obligated to do, some activity that you're supposed to do in order to demonstrate your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that? So the rabbis of the Talmud understand, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, sheyehei shem shamayim nisahei bal yodecha. The way to demonstrate that you love God is to get other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get other people to observe the mitzvahs and to be decent human beings, to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach if they're not Jewish, and if they are Jewish, to observe all of the mitzvahs HaTorah. The rabbis of the Talmud have a famous comment in connection with this mitzvah of Tochacha. They state that Kishem, just like, it's an interesting expression, Kishem Shemitzvah Loim Adova HaNishma, just like there is a mitzvah to give musar, if you know that the person will accept, there's a chance that the person will accept the musar, kach, so too, it's a mitzvah shalolo, madova shalom nishma. So too, it's a mitzvah not to give musar if you know in advance that the person, there's not a chance the person is going to listen. Mutab shirishov gigim lo yuhum mizidim. If a person is violating an aveira, I know that it's impossible. I'm going to walk over to a Jew, I'm going to start hacking him about taras hamishpacha. What are you talking? He's so far, he doesn't know anything about the Rabbani Shalom. The first thing you're going to go tell him is about taras hamishpacha. The Gemara says, there's no question about it. He's not going to listen to Taras HaMishpacha. First, you do the first 612 mitzvahs. Then we get to Taras HaMishpacha in the end. You have to go Menachal HaBakovich. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. Just like it's a mitzvah to say Adova HaNishma, so too it's a mitzvah not to say Adova Shaloi Nishma. Why did the rabbis use such a strange expression, Kishayim, just like it's a mitzvah? How is it the same? No, it's not the same thing. It just doesn't make sense to give Tochacha if it's not going to work. Why do they assume that it's the same? Rav Soloveitchik once explained that he thinks perhaps the idea that the rabbis were driving at is the following. You have many psukim in the Chumash where there's an obvious interpretation, the obvious meaning, the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Then you have additional levels of interpretation. You have secular books, that are secular poems and secular books that are written by non-Jews that you have like that. There's an obvious meaning. And then you have sometimes one or two hidden meanings. The author says himself that he meant three levels of interpretation, Pshuto, and two additional levels of interpretation. So the rabbis have a comment that the Chumash even has shivim panim al Torah, can have 70 levels of interpretation. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is the Pshuto, and a Mikra is the Pshuto. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is always correct. And then in addition to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple level of interpretation, there can be another 69 levels of interpretation, and they can all possibly be correct. It's possible that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, word for word, letter for letter, it could be that he dictated in such a way that Kipate Shifoitse Tzela, the rabbis of the Talmud quote that pasuk, just like when you take a hammer and you're banging a rock, so the rock breaks into tiny little particles, so too anyone given pasuk, Mikra Echad Yotze L'Kamatani, anyone given pasuk can have many different levels of interpretation. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that on this pasuk, Hacheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, the rabbis seem to have at least two levels of interpretation that are famous, that are popular. One is Hacheach Tochiach Es Amisecha. The other fellow is doing an aveira. He's a Rosha. You have to try to work with him to try to get the Rosha to become a tzaddik. And then, in addition to that, the rabbis have a comment. Why does it say a double expression, hocheach tochiach, twice? So the rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, is of the opinion that we have adopted Rabbi Akiva's view that lo dibeter kedushen ben yodim. Whenever the Chumash has lashonas kfulin, a double expression, hanitanik, anosim titen, apaserach tiflach, anything like that, hakeisake, it means something. We assume that there must be some drasha over here. So the pasuk reads, hocheach tochiach es hamisecho, so the rabbis understand what it means is, afilo mea pomim. You have to give tochacha to the other person if you nudge him, such a nudge, you pester him 100 times. You hack him and you hack him and you hack him. What's that? You're going to nudge the person 100 times, for sure he's not going to listen. And the rabbis in the Talmud say, and how far does the mitzvah tochacha go? How far do you have to nudge the person? So they say, till he starts to curse you, one opinion is till he starts to beat you up. So obviously he's not going to listen. So there's a mitzvah to hack him so long, 100 times, till he starts to curse me. Till he starts to beat me up, so obviously he's not going to listen. So how can that be included in the mitzvah of tachacha? The mitzvah of tachacha is that you should get the Russia to convert to become a tzaddik, to change the Russia into a tzaddik. You're not going to get anywhere. You've already given tachacha 99 times. What are you giving 100th tachacha up until he starts to beat you, until he starts to curse you? So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, you see from the Gemara, that there's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk, that sometimes, even though we know in advance that we will get nowhere by speaking to this person, but it's still a mitzvah to do tochacha, to register your complaint, to have a protest, to protest the fact that the other fellow is doing another. Yeah, to throw stones. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to throw stones. On rare occasions, to register your protest. That's not dumb, you're not doing a nice thing. It's really a terrible thing that you're doing. So what happens when you have a conflict between these two mitzvahs? Let's say a person is doing an aver of the shegek, and I know his circumstances are such that it's not possible. If I'll give him tachacha now, person doesn't know anything about the religion, I'm going to start hacking him about taras hamishpacha. There's not a chance in the world he's going to start to observe taras hamishpacha. So what do you do in this case? He's violating taras hamishpacha. So do I protest it right away, because it's included in the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach is to give tachacha as a protest, even if you won't get anywhere by it. But on the other hand, if I give tachacha to the person right now, he didn't hear anything about taras hamishpacha, so he's violating the averus b'shegik. If I'm going to tell him what the din is, and I know in advance he's going to continue to violate these laws, so I'm going to take a tzaddik, and basically a tzaddik, he's doing the averus b'shegik, so he's not really so bad of a Russian. He's doing averus b'shegik. I'm going to take a person who's a tzaddik and make him into a Russian. So according to the Pshuta Shomik, according to the simple level of interpretation of the pasuk of Acher Tochecha Samisecha, what you're supposed to do is take a Rosh and convert him into a Tzaddik. If you take a Tzaddik and you convert him into a Rosh, that's just the opposite from the Pshuta Shomikro. So here you have a case where there's a conflict between the Pshuta Shomikro and the additional level of interpretation of the Chachamim. If you follow the Pshuta Shomikro, so that requires that you're not to give any Musar in this case. You're going to convert a Tzaddik into a Rosh by giving him Tochecha. Because you know in advance he's not going to listen. He's not shy. He's not in the category of people who are going to listen to the Musar on the Taras HaMishpacha. But still, on the other hand, according to the additional level of interpretation, you have to make a machor, you have to register your protest. So the rabbis say, no, kishem shemitzvah loy madova hanishma, just like the Pshuto Shomikra tells me that there's a mitzvah to give tochacha, to convert the Russia into a tzaddik, kach, so too the Pshuto Shomikra requires of us, not to give tachacha if you know he's not going to listen, and right now he's only violating the aver b'shegeg, and after you'll give him the tachacha, he's going to be violating the aver b'mezid. So you'll be converting a tzaddik into a rasha. True, according to the additional level of interpretation of the rabbis, the pasuk also includes an obligation to register your protest and make a machor. But still, when you have a conflict between the Pshuta Shal Mikra and the Drasha Chachamim, you follow the Pshuta Shal Mikra and you ignore the additional level of interpretation. So that's why in such a case, you don't give Tachacha. The people have to use their brains when they give Tachacha. That's what the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon, who lived during the period of the destruction of the Second Temple, he lived during the Bai Sheni and after. He was an older contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, who also lived through the Churban Bai Sheni. Rav Tarfon says already in that generation, in any Yodea, he doesn't know im bador hazeh, and in this generation, is there anybody who really knows how to give tochacha? You have to know a little psychology, you have to understand how to speak the language of the sinner. Let's say a person only speaks Yiddish, a European only speaks Yiddish, is going to come over and give tochacha to an American, he's going to scream in Yiddish. He won't understand what he's talking about. A yeshiva bacher speaks English, but he speaks yeshivish English. He doesn't speak English. And even if he went to university, he speaks normal English. But basically, he speaks a different language. And if the sinner has a different language. He lives in the American culture, and the religious yeshiva bacha lives in a yeshiva culture. It's a totally different society. So even though they speak the same vocabulary from the same dictionary, but it's basically a different language, so he doesn't really know how to communicate with the other person. You have to know an awful lot of psychology in order to think in terms that the other person is thinking of. If you're brought up in one society and you have to think in terms of the other person's background, the other person's society, that's not easy at all. So that's what Rav Tarfon says. He doesn't know in our generation, this was almost 2,000 years ago, he says he doesn't know in our generation whether there's anybody who really knows how to give to Chochmah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah and other posts say. In our generation also, we feel the same way. We don't really know if we have anybody who really knows how to give to Chochmah in our time. And therefore the Talmud has a din that no longer applies today. The Talmud says it's prohibited to hate a fellow Jew. The pasuk says, "Lasisna sachicha bilvavecha." You're not allowed to despise another person. And even if the other fellow is doing a sin, first you have to give him tochacha. What happens if I gave him tochacha and he didn't listen? So then it's permissible to hate him. Mutalisnoso. Not only permissible, the rabbis say, mitzvah. Lisnoso. It's a mitzvah to hate him. Why a mitzvah? Where does a mitzvah come from? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Halo misanecha Hashem esno, u'bitkamimecha es koito." Those who hate God, so it's a mitzvah that we should hate them, we should despise them, and we should start up with them. U'bitkamimecha, those who start up with God, those who are attacking the Jewish religion, we should start up with them a little bit. So the rabbis say that mitzvah lisnoso only applies if you've already given tochacha and the person didn't listen. But Rav Tarfon says, Bizman Hazeh, he lived 2,000 years ago, Bizman Hazeh for sure, in our generation, we don't really know how to give tochacha to the individual. So it's always going to be like Kodem tochacha, even if we gave tochacha. We probably don't know how to give most people don't know how to give the proper tochacha. That's why today, this whole mitzvah, this nosa, wouldn't apply anymore. In fact, that seems to be this idea that the Gemara brings out, when is it a mitzvah, this nosa, when is it not a mitzvah, this nosa. Seems to be the simple reading of that pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk starts off, "Lasisna sachicha bilvavecha." You're not allowed to despise, you're not allowed to hate another Jew, even if he's doing averis. But then it says, "Hachech tachech es hamisecha." First, give tachacha, then v'loisis olav chet. Then, after you've given tachacha and he still doesn't listen, then it's mutalisnoso. Then you're not in violation of the mitzvah of "Lasisna sachicha bilvavecha." Then it says, "V'loisis olav chet." You will not be considered as being in violation of the aver of lasisna sachicha bavecha, because he gave tachacha and he didn't listen. That's banez var mamurim, if you know how to give the tachacha. The mefarshim on that pasuk have different levels of interpretation of that phrase. So Rashi writes in his commentary, the famous pshat. Rashi quotes from the Sifra, from the Torah Kohanim, that when you give tachacha to the other person, but don't embarrass him in public. Sometimes I want to give the other person musa, so I scream out loud in front of everybody, "What are you doing in the Chol Shabbos?" And the other person turns color. "What are you doing? It's an aver, you're not allowed to do it. It's not kosher." So you humiliate the person in public, so you get an aver. Not only have you not fulfilled the mitzvah of tachacha, because you're not going to get anywhere by humiliating the person, but you have also zoiche given to having violated an aver. You humiliated the person. That's what one has to be very careful about. One has to know how to give tochacha in such a way that he doesn't insult the other person. You don't humiliate the other person. And the Ramban quotes another level of interpretation that the rabbis had. We've already mentioned three interpretations on the pasuk, "Lasisa olav chay." The rabbis interpret, "Lasisna sachicha bilvavecha." You're not allowed to hate anybody else, even if he's sinning. You have to give tochacha. If he gave the tochacha and he doesn't listen, then it's permissible to hate him. Then if you'll hate him, you won't be considered as violating an aver. And then the Gemara says that's only if you know how to give tochacha. If you don't know, it's considered kaidim tochacha, and you don't have the heter lisnos. The Rashi has a different level of interpretation, also from the rabbis. But means when you give the tochacha, don't give the musa in such a way as to cause him to be humiliated. You're going to humiliate the person, then you have an aver, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of chayach tochiyach. And the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes also from the rabbis a third level of interpretation on the pasuk. You should give musa to the other person that he shouldn't do the averis and he should do the mitzvahs. So you won't be punished because of his sins. If you allow other people to sin and you don't complain, you don't try to straighten them out, then you will be punished for their averis. So you will be punished for the fact that they're not observing mitzvahs. But if you're given the tochacha, the Gemara says, One who sees Mishiyesh Biyod Olim Chosvein Amoyche, if I have the ability to get other people to be Chosvein B'tshuva, and I don't do it, I am Nitfas Ba'oso Oven. I would be punished because of the sins that they're doing, because of the fact that they're not fulfilling mitzvahs. What happens if I gave the Tochach, I tried, and I did my best, and they still didn't listen? But then if it's Ein Biyod Olim Chos, if there's nothing that I can do about it, then I won't be punished for the other person's sins. So that's how the rabbis understood the pasuk. Ochech, tochech, samisecha, give the tochacha, in order that lo sita olachet, that you shouldn't be punished, you shouldn't be farechent as your avera, the fact that the other person is doing an avera. This is a basic idea. In our religion, the Rishonim give this mashal, a group of people are on a boat, and one person decides he's going to drill a hole in his cabin, the room where he sleeps. The other people start to scream, Meshuggah, what are you going to do? What are you drilling a hole? You know, everybody, the whole ship is going to sink. Everybody's going to drown. He says, mind your own business. I'm drilling the hole in my cabin. I'm not drilling the hole in your cabin. So it's Shtus, what do you mean? You drill a hole, the water's going to come up. We're all going to sink. Your cabin is not only you're going to sink. The whole boat is going to sink. Everyone is going to get killed. The Rambam has this moshel in his commentary on the Mishnah. There's another Rishonim. This is a popular moshel. Other Rishonim give this moshel. So they explain, when there's one person who's doing an Aveira, it's not only he who is doing the Aveira, that, or if one person is not performing a mitzvah, that applies to everybody. We say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, the whole Jewish people are responsible for each other, doesn't only mean like a co-signer. Someone borrows money from the bank and I serve as a co-signer. Not just a co-signer. The Loiva owes the money and the Arev is a co-signer. No, it means when he does the Aveira, it's considered as if my left arm is doing the Aveira, as if part of me is doing the Aveira. The Jewish people is considered one unit. We are a goy. We say in the Pasuk, Mikam Chi Yisrael, Goy Echot Ba'aretz. The only goy are the Jewish people. We have as a Yiddishism, as a Malik, to be called the non-Jews, the goyim. Strictly speaking, we are the goy. The others are Mishpachos L'Adamah. The others are families. They're not goyim. We are the goy. That's why there are many Pasuk who are not happy with the blessing that we recite in the morning, Shalom Asani Goy, because that's a colloquial expression. You should have said Shalom Asani Nochri. Shalom Asani Goy is a Yiddishism. He called the non-Jews a Goy. The brachas are the blessings and the prayers and the siddur are supposed to be in accordance with biblical Hebrew, fancy Hebrew, not the contemporary colloquial Hebrew. So that bracha is a problem. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I was told, I was never around when he died, but I was told he didn't say Shalom Asani Goy, he said like the Yekis, like Nusach Nachman, Shalom Asani Nochri, because Goy is a colloquial term. That it means a non-Jew. The pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Kodesh Boch promises Avraham Avinu, Ve'escha legoy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. The Jewish people are going to develop to become a nation, and then he continues to say, V'nivrichu b'cha, kol mishpachos l'adamu. All the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. He doesn't, HaKodesh Boch doesn't use the expression, V'nivrichu b'cha, kol goyehu adamu, because the other nations are not really nations. In Tanakh, they are referred to as goyehu aratzai. But that's also a colloquial expression. Strictly speaking, halachically speaking, the only goy is the Jewish people. The others are called mishpachos l'adamah. What's the difference? Big difference. A mishpacha, you have different people. You have an uncle and an aunt, and you have parents, and you have cousins, and you have brothers and sisters and children, different people, grandparents. Each one is a different person, a different individual. And there's a relationship between them. They get along, they don't get along. Love-hate relationship, hate-love relationship, whatever it is, everyone gets along with each other to a certain extent. A goy is from the word giviyah, a body. A goy, the Jewish people, is considered one body. You have the right hand, the left hand, everybody all together constitutes one body. It's considered one unit. That's why the Talmud Yerushalmi comments on the mitzvah of lo sikom lo sitores b'nei amecha, you're not permitted to take revenge from other Jews. So the Yerushalmi gives a mashal amad avadayme. I remember when I got married, so they were mechabim me to cut this gigantic challah by the chatana, so I cut my finger. So the Yerushalmi gives such a mashal. If a person has this gigantic challah and he's cutting, I'm a righty, I was cutting with the right hand and I cut my left finger on the left hand. So will the left hand slap the right hand to take nekama? Of course not. It's the same organism. What shaykh that the one part of the body will take revenge from the other part of the body? The Yishalmi says that's the pshat in the pasuk. Lo sikom, lo sitores b'nei amecha. It doesn't make sense that one Jew should take revenge from another Jew, nekama or netzira, to harbor a grudge against the other Jew. That's like harboring a grudge against yourself. One limb of the body will harbor a grudge. It'll take revenge for another limb of the same organism. It's all one organism. So that's the difference between a goy and mishpacha. Mishpacha means you have different individuals who relate to each other. That's a family. That's what a family is all about. And a goy is miloshin gziyah, a body that all of the people together constitute one unit. That's the meaning of the din. Kol Yisrael areivim zeh bezeh. We had it in yesterday's Tachacha. The pasuk says, "V'kashlu ish biyachiv." So the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the Jews will be running away from the enemy, will be punished because of our sins, will be running away from the enemy, so we'll trip over each other, and all of the people will fall on top of each other. V'kashlu ish biyachiv. So Rashi quotes an additional level of interpretation that the rabbis have in the Talmud. V'kashlu ish biyachiv ish bavaynachiv. That one will be punished because of the sins of another person. In other words, if another person doesn't sin, it's considered as if part of my body sinned. I'm part of that big nation. We're all one big goy, in the sense of a gviya, one big body. One of my limbs violated this aver. Or if there's one person who didn't recite Kiddush yet, so it's considered as if there's one Jew in New Zealand who didn't say Kiddush yet, didn't shake a lulav yet, so it's considered as if I wasn't fully yotzei my mitzvah. Not just after secret that the other Jews fulfill their mitzvahs. It's considered as if I didn't completely fulfill my mitzvah. When I shake a lulav, when I daven, when I say Kiddush, I fulfilled the mitzvah 50%. What didn't I do? Part of me still didn't say Kiddush, namely the rest of the Jews in the world. As long as there's one Jew somewhere in the world who didn't say Kiddush yet, didn't like tefillin yet, so it's considered as if I didn't completely fulfill my mitzvah. The Talmud has a din, the Baal Tekeah who blows shayfar has to be one who is mechuyev bedover. Let's say you have a woman is the best Baal Tekeah in the community, but a woman is not obligated to blow shayfar. If she blows shayfar, if she listens to tekiahs, or if she blows for herself, that's marvelous. She gets rewarded.